Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our guest the governor of Rhode Island, Gina Raimondo. Thank you for joining us, Governor.
Hi, good morning.
Fallout continues after the Raimondo administration hired former state representative Donald Lally for a state job 4 months after he stepped down as a lawmaker. The state Republican Party says hiring Lally so soon violated the state's revolving door law, and a Providence Journal editorial calls Lally's hiring part of politics as usual in Rhode Island. Governor, we know that your administration says there was an exemption under which Donald Lally qualifies to be hired, but should your administration have been more sensitive to the perception created by this hiring?
You know, it's a good question. We believe it seems pretty clear to us that this is squarely within the rules. And we hired him to do a job. You know, his job is to help work with my office to streamline regulations, make it easier and cheaper to do business in Rhode Island. And I would say we are absolutely changing the way business is done. You know, I've made over 200 appointments. A month or so ago, I was being criticized for having too many out-of-towners come in. You know, the fact of the matter is, I put a person in running the 195 Commission who's got 30 years of global real estate experience. The new head of the Commerce Corporation is the CEO of State Street Global Advisors. My chief of staff comes from Maryland. I'm putting people in place who are going to do the job. And by the way, we're going to hold them accountable. You know, my take on all this, I'm just about results. People should judge me based on the results. Whether it's Don Lally or Joe Azrak or whoever, they got to do their job. And if they do their job and deliver results, I'll be happy. And if they don't, they won't have the job for long.
Maureen, what do you make of this situation?
I have a different perspective on this in the sense that I think the context of this is unfortunate. First of all, Representative Lally, the way he resigned triggered a special election, really generated a tremendous amount of resentment down around the university in his district. And it was so interesting that it looked like it was wired because it was a special election. And people went out and walked the district in opposition to him. So Ms. Bonanno, who was expected to win, lost. So that sets a context, if you will. And it describes a kind of politics as usual. So the idea that unless this person is a fabulous superstar that you can't find anywhere else, I think you should have at least looked to the Ethics Commission for an opinion.
Yeah, well, of course, I wouldn't have been able to do that. But, you know, arguably, Lally should have. Again, we just think it's so clear that that wasn't necessary. Look, I am sensitive to it. And I don't want it to become a distraction. You know, every time we're talking about this, we're not talking about what matters. I spent my morning with a rating agency trying to convince them that Rhode Island is on the rise, which I believe. I'm working day and night to turn around this economy. And that's what I want people focused on. And by the way, that's the work he's engaged in, you know, streamlining and working with DBR on deregulating. But again, as I say, I've been in office now for 7 months, 200 and some odd appointments. I'm really proud of the team I have on the field. They're working hard. And in many cases, they're real upgrades. And we're getting the A-team to dig in and be part of this comeback, which is not business as usual. I've brought in some folks who have sterling business careers. They're new faces. And a lot of people say to me, oh, we're not comfortable with that, Governor. We don't know these people. We've never worked with these people. Well, I'm bringing in people who I think can do the job.
What do you make of the governor's point there, Scott?
I agree, the governor, this is a small thing compared to the bigger part of the administration that she's pushing. However, I think she's being extraordinarily disingenuous in saying this was up to Lally. All you had to say to him is, Don, I can't put you on until you go to the Ethics Commission. It's very simple. Don Cachiri, when he put Brian Stern on there, he went and got an advisory. Link Chafee, when he elevated Richard Leach to the bench, went to the Ethics Commission and got an advisory. And I think, really, out of abundance of caution, you should have done that.
Maybe we should have. But, you know, we didn't because my legal team looked at it. And to them, it was a cut and dry case. It was very clear. The governor has authority to hire on her staff who she thinks can do the job. Let's get the job done. People are listening to this and thinking, all right, Governor, you said you were going to get us back to work. You said you were going to have job training programs. You said you were going to recruit businesses. Let's get to that. And if I produce that, you know, that's what I should be judged on.
Well, let's talk about that, Governor. You've supported a variety of efforts meant to improve Rhode Island's economy, including planning grants meant to train people for current job openings. We know how the state unemployment rate has ticked down on your watch, in part due to the recovery of the national economy. Have we seen any tangible impact from your efforts to improve the economy?
Yes, I think so. I mean, obviously it's early innings and we can't turn this around. We didn't get here overnight. We're not getting out overnight. But already, obviously the Medicaid work that we did in this first budget, as well as finalizing the pension work, is a huge improvement for Rhode Island's fiscal situation, which is a huge signal to any business, small or large, that wants to do business here, that Rhode Island is really seriously tackling its fiscal issues. I brought in a new person to run the Department of Labor and Training, Scott Jensen. He came from Maryland. He's already, in the past 7 months, taken in more than $10 million of new federal grants for training programs. We've already launched a training program called Real Jobs Now, which is a demand-driven program, and employers love it. In fact, I was just with a group of employers, and several of them came up to me and said, Governor, it's like night and day. You are responding quickly to our needs. You are letting us tell you what we need people trained in and serving up a trained workforce. Look, a lot of wood to chop, no doubt about it. But I do feel great about what we have going so far.
Pawtucket Mayor Donald Grebbien wants the governor's office to meet with him and the Paw Sox to develop a plan to keep the Paw Sox in Pawtucket. Governor, are you going to take Mayor Grebbien up on his request?
I'm meeting with him soon. And look, here's my position. I've said it from the beginning. I would love for the Paw Sox to stay here. I hope the owners would consider Pawtucket if they think they can make a good business out of it. My position is I'd love you to stay in Rhode Island. I can't open up the kitty entirely and give you buckets of money because we don't have it. So we just have to take our time and be thoughtful. And if there's a deal to be done, my job's to be a watchdog for the people and get it right.
Governor, I'm wondering, do you think that the 195 site that Jim Skeffington and the team so coveted originally is now dead for the a new stadium?
That is my impression, yes, because I think the ownership has determined, and of course you should ask them, but my impression is that the cost are too high there. It's my impression that, you know, the Brown has, I think, very legitimate economic demands that are high, and I don't think it's economically feasible for the ownership. There were a lot of issues with that land that, you know, that's why you run the process.
Are you concerned about losing them out of state?
Of course I am. You know, I don't want them to go out of state, but we have a lot of tough choices. Like I said, I want them to stay in state, but that doesn't mean we can provide a subsidy that we can't afford.
Maureen, do you think the governor's office should be encouraging the Paw Sox to stay in Pawtucket?
Well, I don't know whether they should be encouraging them to stay in Pawtucket. I think the governor clearly wants them to stay in the state. My concern is, I do agree with you, it looks like the 195 deal is dead. It would be great if we could move on, only in the sense that we're holding up all that kind of industry and investment, and we've got to close that book at least, and then go on to figure out where in the state they might go.
I will tell you, we haven't stopped at all. All of the other work that we have ongoing is ongoing. We're working very hard with a developer called Wexford in order to have a 1 million square foot innovation center. I'm in conversations often with industry partners and incubators and entrepreneurs. You're right, it's time. We've determined that's not a suitable place. The economics don't work. So let's close that chapter, see if there's another place in Rhode Island that they could be, and then let's focus our 195 efforts where they should be, I believe, on making that a vibrant innovation economy center in Rhode Island.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Governor Gina Raimondo.
Thank you, guys.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Pamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.